As always, you have outlines available to you online at westbridgecc.org. So please, if you need to run, go get an outline. We'd love for you to have that tonight. It'd be a good time to do it. We're just going to kind of give you a quick recap where we're coming from. This all started in a little diner in Key Largo, Florida, where I came across a rack of magnets, car magnets, small little magnets, and one of them caught my eye. There was a little magnet that said, "Enjoy life." And that's how it started. Just God kind of having me look at this magnet and letting it just kind of ruminate through me for that whole week. And that's where we've been looking at. Matter of fact, why don't we just put it right here so we have it with us. There we go. And that's kind of our little lighthouse leading us forward where we want to go. We're looking at, for the past several weeks, we're looking at why people are not enjoying life. Why would people not enjoy life? Why would they not find this life to the full that Jesus Christ says he came to bring us, and he did bring us? So why are we not finding it? And we already looked at 3 weeks. The first week we looked at the fact, well, you may not be enjoying life if you're someone who's unable to buy one of those magnets and stick it on your car. You may not be enjoying life because you're dead. What do you mean I'm dead? I'm still here. No, we're talking about being spiritually dead. We looked at that. You can go back to our website, and you go back on Facebook, and you can go over that and see that you need to become alive spiritually. That you are a being that is made up of different parts, and one of the parts that has to come to life that has been dormant from the day you have been born is your spirit. Your spirit needs to come alive. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. Jesus Christ came to give us a new birth and let that spirit come alive. So that may be one of the reasons you're not enjoying life. Then we kept moving on and said, well, there are people who are already spiritually alive, and they're like, nope, I am not putting that on my car. I'm not. You can get me one that's like a Ghostbusters and says, not enjoying life. Well, all right, maybe that problem is you're tethered. Maybe you're tethered. Maybe you are still tied to your hopes and dreams that you won't let go of, that God doesn't have those for you, at least not at this time. Maybe you want something so bad that God says, that's not how I made you. I made you for bigger and better things than that. And maybe you're just so tied to those that it's keeping you from enjoying life. We talked about cutting that tether and going and following what God has for us. And then last week, we looked at what was happening. Another person says, well, I'm not enjoying life, and I'm not tethered, and I'm spiritually alive. So maybe you're Groundhog Day-ing. And that's where you're doing the same things in your life over and over again, and they're just not working. You got your way of doing things, and that's just not God's way. He wants you to do those things, and it's not working for you. You're repeating kind of a failed system and keep going on and on and on. We talked about how to get out of that. And tonight, we will go even further as we head into our fourth part of this study. This past week, I drove over the Free Bridge in Belvedere this week with my wife. And then as we were heading over to that bridge, I said, hey, you remember? Right here, we sailed right under here. September 4th, your birthday. We did. We got our little kayak that we got this past summer. And when we kayaked from Portland, Pennsylvania, down to Belvedere, and then we kept right on going to Easton. Nearly 8 hours on the Delaware River, filled with moments of beauty, for sure, and also filled with some moments of hardship. Uh-oh. I will say that, and a bit of struggle as we tried to work our way down. See, we had opted not to get out of our kayak at the halfway point, which is a normal kayak adventure point. You go from Portland, you go on down to Belvedere. But I instead decided on this special day of Miss Kelly's birthday that we should do what few other people do. We should run the lower gauntlet of the Delaware River from Belvedere into Easton. And that's what I will confess now, that taking that lower section extended our kayaking adventure 5 hours. It was a mistake. It was a mistake. The bottom section, why they call it the gauntlet, or at least why I call it the gauntlet, is because there's filled with boulders. Mm-hmm. And it's filled with sections of super thin water where you will be pulling your kayak with your wife in it across those sections. And it also opens up to some big, fat, wide water sections where crazy people on jet skis and speedboats can go unbelievable miles an hour as you're just kind of paddling by trying to keep your kayak from falling over. But Miss Kelly and I did it. We made it. We did it. It was her birthday. It was a birthday she will never forget. I say that lovingly. I'm sure she says that a little differently, but I would know she won't forget it. And I remember when we got to the bottom, we were getting a little worried because it was getting late and it's getting dark and it was about to get dark. And Miss Kelly said, "Are we going to get there?" I said, "Absolutely." I had no clue whether we were going to get there or not. I'm just being super positive. I don't know. Every time we go around a bend in the river, I know I should be looking at the Eastern Bridge. And every time I go around a bend, and it's not there. I'm like, I think we took a wrong turn. I don't know how you take a wrong turn on Delaware River, but it felt like we did. I knew you couldn't have. I said, "No, we gotta keep this, keep going." But just as darkness fell, we rounded the last bend, and there it was, the Eastern Bridge. So we, totally exhausted, we got to underneath the Eastern Bridge, and we skidded our kayak onto the shore, and I stepped out, and to my surprise, I was immediately stuck. Mm-mm. I mean, cemented in place. My feet were deeply buried in thick, heavy mud and silt. I could not move at all. Friends, that was an absolutely horrible feeling. It just felt unbelievably terrible. I mean, after 8 hours of fighting this river and beating it, as far as I was concerned, I thought, is this how it's going to end? This is what's going to get the best of us? This is how the river is going to enact its revenge on us? Well, I struggled, and we did this for a while, and honestly, I went a little nuts trying to get out of there. But obviously, by me standing here preaching to you from my family room tonight, you know that I got out. I got free. Now, my new, brand new kayak shoes did not. They are, as Bruce Springsteen would say, somewhere stuck in the mud, somewhere in the swamps of Jersey. So the shoes are still somewhere in the mud. Now, seldom in my life have I experienced that emasculating, reducing feeling of being physically stuck, couldn't move, powerless. Now, that was physically, but I wish I could say the same thing that I have not experienced this very often emotionally, being stuck and powerless. But life enjoyment seekers, our next insight in our pursuit to enjoy life is that this: you cannot enjoy life. You will not find enjoyable life if you're stuck in the mud. You just won't. Enjoyable life cannot be found there, as we will learn very shortly. There are all kinds of mud holes, friends. There are all kinds of mud holes littering the pathways that you have walked on and that you are continuing to walk on. Allow me to tell you about my friend Ben. Ben started with this: "Pastor Drew, I am not enjoying life." Why? Ben, what's going on? So he says, "Well, here's the deal. Yeah, you're serious here, enjoying life. You're missing a lot of things. The thing is, because there's a lot of things that come easy to people. Certain kinds of people, things come easy to them. But they don't come easy to people like me." I said, "Ben, explain more. I need to know about these different kinds of people you're talking about. The ones that things come easy, the ones that don't." He said, "Well, for some people, things just work out. They're good at sports. Maybe they're smart and they can figure things out easily. Maybe they're good looking. Maybe they just have it all together and things just seem to go their way. As for people like me, we're not like that. Things don't go our way. We're those other people. Other people always seem to win, but my people, we never seem to win. Pastor Drew, everything you're saying about having this enjoyable life is for those gifted, special, charmed people who win, not people like me." I said, "Ben, I know right where you are. I get where you're coming from. He says, you do? I say, absolutely, Ben. Here's the deal. You're mud stuck. Mud stuck? What are you, Ben, I don't just mean your feet. I mean you are buried up to your neck in life-robbing, hope-killing, joy-stealing mud. And your mud is doing all the talking in your head. Ben, you need to know everything you just said to me, everything you just said to me is a mud lie. That's a mud lie. A mud lie, he says. I said, yeah, don't fret, man. You're not the first one to get stuck here.
Amen.
You're not the first one, Ben, to get hoodwinked by the lies that you have in your mud. King David had it too. Look at Psalms chapter 109, verse 2. David wrote, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Now David here is talking about people pouring out all kinds of lies and untruths about him. Lies that have gotten back to David's ears, or even lies that were said right to David. Mud lies, gang, are one of Satan's most effective tactics. The Bible tells us this about Satan, our adversary. It says there's no truth in him. No truth in Satan. When he lies, he speaks what's natural to him. For he is a liar. He is the father of lies and half-truths. Friend, if you are not enjoying life, if you feel you're missing something, or if you picked up a belief along the way that you don't have what it takes, or you are not noteworthy, well, here's the first enjoy life point. You have been mud struck. Add the R on that. Mud struck. You've been mud struck. You see, the first thing that happens is you get hit. You get hit by mud. I leaned in toward my mud struck friend and I continued, I would like to talk to you about that group of people you mentioned. You seem to know, be an expert on them. I want you to talk to me about them. The ones that you said never have anything go their way. The ones you said don't have anything ever work out for them. I want to talk about that group. Ben, I would bet you that that group of people you're talking about, I would bet you that at some point in their lifetime, these don't-haves have been told, you're stupid. Or they've been told, you are worthless. You're too much. You're too much. You're not lovable. You're fat. You're too scrawny. You're weak. You're ugly. You are incompetent. You're a loser. You're inferior. You're annoying. You're the problem. Friend, all those lines, all those senses are lies.
Amen.
And they are all mud lies. Filthy, stinking, untrue, life-sucking mud lies. You get hit or you get struck by that, it's going to stick to you. It's going to stick like glue, and it's going to stain you. Now, when I was in high school, in gym class, we had the absolutely horrific practice of testing everyone's ability in front of the entire class.
Oh, right.
You know, the rope climb.
Oh, boy.
In front of everybody. The sit-ups, the push-ups. But the one skill that I dreaded above all others, the one I couldn't handle, the chin-up bar.
Mm-hmm.
Here was my entire class filling the bleachers of the gym. The entire grade was there. They watched as your name was called, and you walked over to the wall-mounted bar.
Oh, God.
There you had to hang by your arms fully extended out, as you hung there, and you had to try to pull yourself up until your chin went over the bar. Now, if you were strong, if you were competent, no problem. You would be able to do that. If, however, you were like me, it was by far the most humiliating and degrading moment in my life. Me and all my other friends in that group who were unable to do a chin-up would hang there and we would wiggle, we would writhe, we would kick our legs, and we would grunt, only to hear the entire class laughing wildly. Laughing in amusement at the have-nots' incompetence and the have-nots' hopelessness. For years, decades, I believed it was impossible. Impossible for me to do a chin-up. The mud was flying, and the mud said, "Drew, you're weak. You're incapable. You're a loser." Now, fast forward this story a decade later, working at the firehouse. Working at the firehouse, you had quite a bit of time to fill in between calls, and one of the things I started doing while I was there over my 30-year career, I started lifting weights. I would lift one of these weights by myself. I would just go downstairs and do my whole workout. I did this for several years. No real reason for it, by the way. It was just something to do, and at the time, I liked it. In firehouse number 3, there was a homemade gymnasium. They had a homemade gym there, and one of the men had hung a chin-up bar in the corner. Now, I never paid attention to that chin-up bar. Why would I, right? I know for a fact I cannot do a chin-up. It's not me. But one day, after several years of working out, I went over and I hung from that bar, and I tried to pull. Amazingly, my arms were able to bend completely, and my chin went right over the bar. I did it again. It worked. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. What struck me was, after all these years, I realized I can't do a chin-up was mud. It was a lie. A lie that told me I was a loser. A lie that told me I was incapable. A lie that told me I was weak. Again, every one of those laughs back in the gym class was mud. The snickers, the jeers, were all mud that struck me in the head and struck me in the heart. Eventually, though, given enough time and given enough corroboration of those lies, we then step into a mud hole and we become mud stuck. This is where the lies about who we are and what we are capable of doing no longer come from outside of us. They come from inside of us. They come right from our own ideas. We start telling ourselves that lie that we had heard. We sink our feet right into it. We believe those lies. We accept it. And we let that, as we stand in this mud of that lie, we let it establish our new ceiling, how high we can go. We let it decide what our limit will be and what our hope could possibly be. We allow it to set the bar in our lives of what we can do and what is possible for us. And you see, the insidious thing about mud holes is their size and their location. Mud holes are kind of small, maybe 2 feet in diameter, just big enough for you to get your body into. Not much bigger than the size of a landmine. And get this, they're situated everywhere. Everywhere you go, they're there. Anywhere and everywhere you go, they litter the terrain. They aren't even hidden. They're not even hidden at all. They're not concealed. They're just right there in the open. That way, and the reason for that is that way you can get stuck in one, unable to move, but you can still see everything around you that you can't get to. First, you get mud struck. Then you get mud stuck. Just like me, with my feet stuck in the Delaware River silt, you ain't going nowhere. And that's not how we enjoy life. Mud holes allow us to see life, just not get to it. How insidious a plan. Like we said, mud lies about who we are and what we can never have in life, our favorite weapon of our spiritual adversary. It's no wonder mud-stuck people become angry. It's no wonder that mud-stuck people become disillusioned. They become jaded. Mud-stuck people become cynical, and they become downcast. And all that happens, get this, because of a lie. A lie that we accept, a lie that we allow to steer us, a lie that we allow to set limits for us, and a lie that we willingly give the power to chart our course in life. We give the power to chart our course in life to a lie. Friends, we get the most mud stuck when the lie coming at us has some semblance of truth. When it is real, but slightly twisted, and then injected with a dose of untruth. Yeah, the truth was I couldn't do a chin-up when I was a kid, but I wasn't a weakling. Yeah, my friend Ben, he didn't get a college scholarship like all his siblings did, but he wasn't dumb. He wasn't a have-not. And yeah, you may not have what you want at this moment, or you may not be what you dreamed of being right now. But you can't twist that lie into something that says it can never happen. Mm. And it never will. It's all up to God. And we'll cover that part about being up to God next week. But for today, know this. Life enjoyment point three. Enjoy life part point three. You need to be mud plucked. You were struck by mud. Then you became stuck in the mud, and now you need to be plucked from the mud. That means you need to step out of the lies and shake off the control you've given those lies and get out of the mud altogether. Here's how we do that. Number one, life enjoyment solution number one. Enjoying life number one, swim in the pool of truth. Friends, we need to wash off the mud with an ongoing bath and a swim in the pool of truth. We do that by identifying your mud and evaluating it in the light of what God says.
Amen.
My friend Ben felt he was a have-not. He says, I don't have what I need. Remember? I don't have what I need. I'm just not capable. I said, well, Ben, you got Jesus Christ? Yes, I got Jesus Christ. Well, Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, washes that mud you got right there right off you. Because right in that verse it says, you have been given full life in union with Christ. And, in another translation, God has made you complete. Complete in Christ. Mm-hmm. What that means, Ben, is that God has given you everything complete. You've been given everything you need to have life to the full, which is what he promised. The life he wants you to have. You may have not received or achieved all you wanted, but God is telling you, you are capable and you are equipped to do everything God has ordered up for you in the life that God has designed for you. You are not a loser. Your issue doesn't reside in who you are. Your issue stems from what has or hasn't been done by you, how you went about doing things in your life, or where you went looking for your fulfillment. I could do a chin-up. The mud said I was a weakling. I didn't have what it takes. The truth washes that away by telling me, you can do it, but you're going to need to train. You can't do it without getting stronger. Your answer will be found in the weight room, not on the couch. You're not the problem. Your process of thinking it will just happen naturally, that's the problem. That leads us right into enjoy life solution number two. Make changes. Once you know, okay, once you know the mud is holding you back and keeping you from an enjoyable life outside of your reach, you have to pull your feet out. You must get mud plucked. It won't be easy. And it may mean you have to leave your comfortable new shoes behind. You may have to leave even more than that behind. But you gotta make a change. Maybe it will be a change of belief. Maybe it will be a change of location. Maybe a change in your actions. Life enjoyment seekers, truth calls us to act. And it is that acting that will set us free. Miss Kelly sent me a saying this week. She said, I like this. She says, if you're not willing to change, don't expect your life to either. Friend, you got hit with a mud line. It was untruth, and guess what? You acted on it. You made changes in your life because of that lie, and now you're stuck in a hole. Now, how much better will it be now that you've been enlightened by God as to God's truth about you to make the changes initiated by what's right? Make the changes that are initiated by what's real. Make the changes initiated by what is honest and life-giving and true. Danny, pulling out of the mud is more than possible. No matter what it is, it's more than possible. You may have been under the power of a lie for decades, and getting unstuck may be the most difficult thing you ever do, but it's nowhere near as difficult as seeing what life has to offer and not being able to get to it. Let's close with enjoy life solution number 3. Surround yourself with the right people.
Amen.
This is huge. Surround yourself, not with people, with the right people. Again, God tells us that we are all parts of a body. All parts that make up a whole being called the church. And God has designed us to encourage and to strengthen and to help one another. This past week, I received word that my Weight Watchers group, is finally scheduled to get back together for meetings next month. Well, they let us know this, and all of the people I was going with, they started chiming in, commenting, all responding, I'll be there, I can't wait, how do I get there? And then one person put on there and said, I'm anxious to get there, because without the monthly meetings, I haven't been doing that well. Without the weekly meetings, I haven't been doing that well. I put a comment on there too, and I said, I too have not done well without the people that I met with every week. Meeting with them made a difference. Not meeting with them for over a year made a negative difference. I was not successful on my own. And then one lady responded with the words, we need each other. I understood what she was saying. If you want to get unstuck from the mud you're in, surround yourself with the right people. And that may mean discontinuing some time around the wrong people. Our small groups, I'm very proud of this. Over this whole time of restriction that's just coming on a year now, our small groups never stopped meeting. They never stopped meeting during the past year, online, in person. Friends, if you are not making yourself available to this group of people in a small group, you're missing a prime opportunity to surround yourself with the right people. If you do not have a band of friends, if you do not have a band of brothers or a band of sisters that you meet with on a regular basis for either coffee somewhere or breakfast somewhere or dinner, if you don't have a group of friends like that, form one. You take it on yourself to form one. I bet you ask, they will come. Just say, just want to get together. My group, we meet every 2 weeks, just my friends. Every 2 weeks we meet for a quick breakfast. And sometimes we meet and
uneventful. Other times we meet, it's like, wow, that was really an important, really cool time. But we always meet. I surround myself with the right kind of people. I encourage you, if you don't have a group of friends that you're meeting with regularly, start one. Limit yourself to no more than six. Keep it six and under, so you can have conversations that are important, and you don't feel like too many people can't hear at the table. Now, I don't know about you, but I can feel hope in the air these days. Something feels different. Something's going on. Here in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, things are going on, and it's an almost tangible hope. It's an almost tangible optimism as we're moving towards spring. We're getting this sense of optimism and this sense of possibility. And I'm so glad that we're doing this as we're finishing up this series over the next couple weeks. So I encourage you tonight, if you're not enjoying life, if this made sense to you, if this week was the one, that's the one that's keeping that magnet off my car. Wash off the mud. Wash it off. Use friends to help you wash it off. Get opinion from people who are spirit-filled. Get into the Bible. Start listening. Make yourself available to everything that's on our website. We have sermons on there for over 15 years. Make yourself available to them. Wash off the mud. Then step out of the mud and into life at its fullest. Step into life at its fullest. And then, put a magnet on your car that tells the world, enjoy life, because I certainly am. Let's talk to God. And Lord, that is our heart's cry tonight. That we would truly accept inside our belief system, in each of our heads and hearts, that you are for me. You're not against me. I am who you say I am, and we know we are complete in you. There's no mistake. Nothing missing. You have us wired exactly how you want us to be. That doesn't mean we don't have to train. That doesn't mean we don't have to learn and grow and become more. But Lord, we have what we need. We have the Holy Spirit. We have you. We have your promise. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to be able to shake off all those things that we have believed about ourselves in the past that are not true. All those things that came at us and hit us in the heart, and somehow that arrow got through and stayed. Help us to be honest about just knowing what that is and fighting to get that off of us. Lord, I pray that you would connect us with the right people, the right places, that we would find help from you, your word, your spirit, and the family of God, to find the truth of who you want us to be and what you call us to be. And Lord, I do pray that you would help us to make the changes necessary, although it may be hard. Help us not to see life and not be able to get to it. Help us to see life and run into it. Help us to live with arms wide open, enjoying what you've given us and the possibility and wonder of what today and tomorrow and next day hold. Lord, help us to enjoy life so that others will see it and come to know you, because they want to know what has caused us to find such happiness and joy. Now, Lord, keep us safe as we travel through the weekdays. Thank you for the good weather you're sending our way. Thank you for the hope and the optimism that things are getting better. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to encourage others in that direction. Now, Lord, keep your hand upon us as we go in different directions, and look forward to all that you're going to do till we meet together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We will see you again next week, where we will continue on in our Enjoy Life study. Thank you so much for being here. Great job. Have a great week, everybody. We love you.